engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have not approached that which could be touched in a blazing fire and gloomy darkness, in storm and a trumpet blast, and a voice speaking words such that those who heard begged that no message be further addressed to them. Indeed, so fearful was the spectacle that Moses said, "I am terrified and trembling." No, you have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels in festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O God, we ponder your mercy within your temple. O God, we ponder your mercy within your temple. Great is the Lord and holy to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, fairest of heights, is the joy of all the earth. O God, we ponder your mercy within your temple. Mount Zion, the recesses of the north, the city of the great king, God is with her castles, renowned is he as a stronghold. O God, we ponder your mercy within your temple. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God makes it firm forever. O God, we ponder your mercy within your temple. O God, we ponder your mercy within your temple. As your name, O God, so also your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Of justice, your right hand is full. O God, we ponder your mercy within your temple. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave from there. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these readings today are a great opportunity to reflect on the call that we all have in this life. The God of mercy who created us, and for those of us who are priests, called us to the ministry, which is very much outlined in these readings. But for all of us who are Christian, for all of us who follow and believe in and are disciples of Jesus Christ, these readings speak to us about that great call of discipleship. And so as I celebrate this Mass and praying for, in thanksgiving for my own life and that I may be a better disciple as I celebrate today another birthday, let's reflect on what we are all beneficiaries of, this new and eternal covenant in the blood of Christ. The letter to the Hebrews in this first reading contrasts an event in the Old Testament, God speaking to Moses on the mountain. Thunder and earthquake and clouds and lightning. Moses said, "I am terrified and trembling." God is majestic. You know, there's a phrase in theological writings, the mysterium tremendum et fascinosum. In other words, God is at the same time utterly awesome, so that Moses can say, I am terrified and trembling, mysterium tremendum. But fascinosum, fascinating, it draws us in. You have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God. Listen to this beautiful language again. Countless angels, the firstborn enrolled in heaven, spirits of the just, blood that saves us. So God at the same time can be terrifying, but oh so very attractive. But it's the same God. The New Testament doesn't cancel the Old Testament, it fulfills it. God is still mysterium tremendum. He's still infinite and almighty, and he can manifest the frightening side if he wants. But this very same God became a baby. This very same God shed his blood for us. This very same God wants us to share his very life as our loving Father. This very same God wants to make us perfect and has given us a new covenant in the blood of Christ. That's why, as you see him in the gospel here, he urgently wants to bring this good news that he loves his people and that he shed his blood for them and that he wants to adopt them as sons and daughters and that he wants to give them forgiveness and eternal life. This is such a good message. Everyone in the world needs to hear it. And that's why we see in the gospel Jesus sending forth the preachers of this message. And what did they do? They went off and preached repentance. They have to preach repentance. It starts with that. That's why we start the Mass. How? We start the Mass by saying, let us ask forgiveness for our sins. Because unless and until we repent of our sins, there's going to be a big obstacle there in the way of having that beautiful relationship with God that he wants us to have. We've got to get sin out of the way first. We've got to be doing that every day. That's how the spirits of the just are made perfect. Constant repentance, inspired and enabled by God, and then, little by little, we grow in his grace. We preach repentance. We don't preach God loves you just the way you are. He does love us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us as we are. His love changes us, or at least it calls us to be changed. We could put up an obstacle, but that's why they went and they preached repentance. They said, as John Paul II said, be not afraid to open up the doors of your heart to Christ, because the change he's going to bring to you is not a change of oppression. It's not a change that's going to crush you under impossible burdens. That's not what God is about. It's not a change that's going to take away your freedom. It's a change that's going to give you more freedom and more joy. He's not going to deprive you of joy. He's going to give you the fullness of joy. His blood speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. Now, that's an important passage, especially as we think, I think, in my own ministry and my own life about my full-hearted commitment, full-time commitment to fight the evil of abortion. That is my work. Bring protection to the youngest of children, those still in the womb. Abel was the first person murdered, and sadly was murdered by his own brother, Cain. And the book of Genesis tells us that when Abel was murdered, his blood soaked into the ground. And then it says his blood cried out to God from the ground. Abel could not speak, but his blood could. God heard the cry of the blood. Not a pleasant cry. God heard the cry of the blood and asked for an accounting from Cain. Where is your brother? He asked him. And throughout Scripture, we see, for example, in the book of Deuteronomy, the same theme. If you look in Deuteronomy 21, you see that the prescription is given that if blood is shed on the land, if people find a corpse lying in the open country and somebody has slain this person, what they have to do is bring the people from the nearest city and the priests. And they had to do a ritual and they had to say a prayer asking God's forgiveness, even though they didn't know who did. In fact, the prayer included the assertion, Lord, we don't know who killed this person, but have mercy on your people. Because the blood cries out from the ground. If innocent blood is shed on the land, the blood cries out to God, and God asks the same question that he asked of Cain. He asks the question of everyone on the land, where is your brother? Somebody did this. Where are the brothers and sisters of this person who was killed? God is saying to his people, I've entrusted you to the care of each other. You've got to care for each other. So if somebody is killed, somebody's got to answer for it. And now what the scriptures are saying is, and Jesus made reference to this too, by the way, when he was lashing out against the scribes and Pharisees. He said, you know, the blood from Abel all the way down to Zechariah and all the prophets who were slain, that blood cries out. But the blood of Jesus speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. Above all the noise of the violence of the world, God the Father hears the cry of the blood of the innocent one who is his Son, the Word made flesh, who went to the cross. And that blood cries for mercy and brings mercy, brings healing, brings redemption. So we take strength in the blood of Christ. We all need to give thanks for our lives, measured in days and months and years. We all need to ask forgiveness for our sins. I certainly do. We have to ask forgiveness of one another if we offend each other. If there's any way that I have not served you properly, I ask forgiveness for that. We also have to ask forgiveness for our silence, for our cowardice, for failing to speak up against evil and injustice. We have to ask forgiveness of God if we've held back from proclaiming the truth, and not just forgiveness of God, but of one another, because we deserve the truth from one another. The people of God deserve the fullness of the message of Christ proclaimed to them in the pulpit. It's not an option. It's not a favor that we do if we give you the fullness of the teaching. You have a right to it. So we have to ask forgiveness of one another if we have failed to be good witnesses to the kingdom of God, failed to urge each other on to salvation and perfection. And we have to give thanks for all of the good that the Lord not only gives us and has given us, but has in store for us for the future. We have approached Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. And so we have to have great expectation of blessings for the future. Never let that confidence waver in any way. Expect great things from the Lord for your life, for our country, and for the world, and for the church. You have drawn near to the city of the living God. Let us continue to build that city. Let us continue to witness to that city. Let us continue to rejoice as fellow citizens of that city. Thank you for your prayers for me. I renew my commitment to pray for you. And let's all advance God's kingdom of truth and life, of holiness and grace, of justice, love, and peace. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.